Right, it's wonderful to have one of these because you can move around. It's the first time I actually moved out from behind the pulpit that I'm going to this morning. This week, in fact, the last few weeks, I've been able to escape from work. It's actually allowed because I'm not full time. So what I tend to do is jump in my car and do a quick dash to the nearest McDonald's where I get into the aircon. There's a lovely comfy low seat and I've already eaten at school, so I just get a cup of coffee and get my the book I've been reading of late and just sit down and kind of like get into the word. And the other day, it was actually Thursday, I was sitting there and I was really engrossed, and like you do sometimes, you just stop to kind of like think about what you've just read. And I was just thinking, all of a sudden I heard this noise behind me, and instinctively, it sounded, it was somebody talking, but it didn't sound kind of quite the usual. And I looked around, and it was a little girl. She was about 12, and she was Down syndrome, and she was being very persistent with her dad, and was obviously really looking forward to enjoying her McDonald's, and the dad was carrying the tray, and they went over to a table kind of like opposite where I was sitting, and she sat down. And the father got to go back and get something, and he forgot the serviettes, and he went back, and the little girl was sitting there, and she was like, she couldn't wait for him to come back, she was nicking the chips. And she was stuffing them into her mouth, and then she stopped. And I just sat and watched her. And as she sat there, before the father got back, she just obviously was thinking, and the anticipation of this wonderful big fat hamburger with chips and lots of ketchup was just so on her mind that she did something. And she went like this, with a gleeful little look, and it was just total anticipation of what was coming. And as she did it, I just felt the Lord say to me, that's how I want my children to be.
Absolutely.
When they come before me, they should come, I want them to come with that gleeful anticipation of what I'm going to do in their lives. Amen?
Yes.
So, this morning, are we in gleeful anticipation of what God's got to say to us? Amen. Okay.
Can you move that cord?
Okay, that's great. Right, so I'd like you to go with me, please, to Psalm 119, and we're going to look, first of all, at verse 130. Now, I'm going to be taking this verse from the Alpha Point. And the verse says, the entrance and unfolding of your words bring, I don't know if it's all on the screen, is it on the screen?
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's been loaded up the wrong way.
I'll read it from here. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment and comprehension to the simple. Discernment, the word discernment means to perceive clearly with the mind or senses, or it means to have insight. Comprehension means to grasp, to be able to grasp it mentally and to understand it, to make it yours. Now, words create images. If I say the word to you, mountain, what do you think of? Come on, I need a feedback here. High place, what else? Big hill. Anyone think of the Eiger? Like, because I was watching a documentary with some of my students last week, and it was this guy called Uli Schleck, I think his name is, a Swiss guy, and he's into mountain climbing, but it's speed climbing, and it's amazing when you watch him, because he just uses two ice picks and these crampons, and he literally shoots up the mountain. You just watch him, and he just goes and goes and goes. So if I hear the word mountain now, what comes to my mind is the north face of the Eiger and this guy climbing it. But we don't think M-O-U-N-T-A-I-N, do we? We actually think in images. And that's how words work. I remember when I was about 6 years of age, and I got a kind of graphic picture of this because it was fairly... For me, it was kind of like one of those moments. I was in my grandparents' house, and my mum was trying to get me to read, and I was a bit of an imitator, let's say. And she got this newspaper, my granddad's newspaper, and she put it in front of me, and she was going to me like this. Okay, say the letters. Sir, no. And I was repeating, sir, no. And then she'd say it again. come on, what's the word? So, no. And I was repeating to you again, and did I get it? No, I didn't. And it took me ages, but I was one of those kids that once it clicked in, then I was off and running. And I remember being at school and being like, starting off in like the low grade of the readers. And then suddenly taking off and becoming, in the space of literally no time, a voracious reader. And I remember a friend of mine giving me a Famous Five book. Mm-hmm. And in fact, she lent me the whole series. And my favourite thing to do, I was very much an outside kid, but I loved to be able to grab my book, zoom upstairs, close my bedroom door, get in there, and read this book. And I don't know if any of you remember the Famous Five, because the adventures were just amazing. But I tell you what really used to come in, it was the graphic portrayals of food, picnics. And I wouldn't have considered myself really a foodie back then, but I just remember, you know, descriptions like enormous, great big chunks of freshly baked treacle tart. I would be literally salivating and drooling just reading this book. Because the book, the writer, was able to literally take me into this world of adventure, of these wonderful picnics, of this delicious food. And words created the whole scene. They transported me into that place. Amen? And this is exactly what the Word of God does for us. It takes us into that place of intimacy with Him. It takes us into that place of reality, of relationship with the Lord. Amen? And so this verse, this is what it's talking about. This verse says, the entrance and the unfolding. Because it's not only seeing a word, it's not only visualizing that word on the page, it's not only the black and the white, it's the unfolding of the word. It's what does the word mean? What is the Lord saying to each and every one of us in an individual way? And so, another person who was key, and this person was really key for me, because I remember being like third year at school and loving English, but being introduced to Shakespeare and not having I had absolutely no clue what this was about. But I had a very gifted English teacher. And I remember she took us on this journey. She unfolded Shakespeare in such a way that it became, the insight was reality. I could see what was happening. I could understand how the characters were feeling. I could really get a taste of what was happening back then, even though it was centuries and centuries ago. God wants us to have exactly the same experience, but much deeper with His Word. Because His Word is the Word. It is Jesus made flesh. It's reality. And it is life-changing. It is life-changing. If only we would see the reality of the Word of God, our lives would be changed. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, it says here in this verse that it's the unfolding of the word which gives understanding. And it gives understanding to the simple. Now that word is important. It's not saying, God's not saying, you know, you're a bunch of simpletons. That's not what He's saying. What He's saying is, it's our heart attitude. When we come before the word, the way we come before the word, we have to come before His word in simplicity. Because if we come with already with our own notions and our own ideas of what the word means, we're going to filter the word through what's already there. And that is going to form a kind of blockage. It's almost like the pressure on the tap is going to be radically diminished. And instead of having this massive great gush of the water of the word, we're going to end up with a tiny, weeny little trickle. Because what we're doing is we're preventing it. It's like when, you know, here in Spain, our taps get blocked with cow because it comes out of the water and it forms a sediment in the tap. And so eventually when the water starts coming out, it's not coming out the way it should be. But it's the same with the Word of God. We have to come to God's Word in such a way that we're expecting, anticipating, but we're not putting the blockers on. Amen? So we need to come with a heart and a mind which is open to what He wants to say to us. Everybody with me up to now? I've been given instructions to go slowly. I do have a tendency to bolt. As at work, actually, my favourite phrase is hurry up. They all know me. Come on, kids, let's hurry up. I always seem to have so much to do. So I'm going to make a conscious effort today. And it's hard for me because I do go off at a tangent. I'm going to try and really slow this down. So, we know that God's word is His will. And faith starts where the will of God is known. And I'm not just talking about this. I'm not just talking about a head knowledge. It's the whole process. And you'll see what I mean in a minute. But we need to come into that intimate knowledge of His Word. We need to come into that intimate reality and relationship with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And so it's by going to His Word. And as this verse says, the entrance of His Word. And it's not just talking about this Word entering in to me. It is talking about that. But before we can do that, we've actually got to make the physical effort to enter in. We make the first move. God has already made His move. He's already provided us with the Word. We have got to make the effort to enter into His Word. It is a conscious effort. It is something that we need to do on our part. Amen? Are we all on the same page? Yes. All right, so God wants us to have real connection with Him. A real connection. I can remember my first 6 years as a Christian. And I didn't have anything more than, let's say, I'd had the salvation experience, but that was all I had. And I didn't have anybody at that time to really teach me the Word. I depended upon a friend of mine who led me to the Lord, and she gave me, she fed me, she'd come out periodically on holidays, or she'd send me stuff. And that was really where I was feeding from. But I was hungry. But I wasn't really in a position for different reasons, which I won't go into now, but we didn't go to church. My dad wasn't a believer. And it was a time for me of great frustration. And also, I used to feel like really, the word is frustrated, but also starved. Because I would try to read the Bible, but I couldn't understand it. I would pick up books and I'd read stuff, but I'd get part of it, but I knew there was so much more and there was nobody to point me in the right direction. I couldn't really understand what I was reading, and yet I wanted to. And so God wants us to have that reality of connection with Him and with His Word, and to allow the Holy Spirit to quicken it, to make it real to each and every one of us. It's not knowing about the Lord, it's knowing Him. It's that intimacy of relationship with Him that's going to make all the difference. This is, as we know, the Bible. But this is actually a great big sack of seed. This is full of life. This word, the word in here is the Logos, but as soon as we start to get into this word, and this word becomes reality in our hearts, it becomes life-giving seed. It becomes rhema. It becomes something which can change our lives. Completely change the course of our lives. Completely change the way we think. But like any other seed, when we talk about seed in the natural, in order for seed to germinate and to produce life, seed has got to be planted. And it's exactly the same with the Word of God. This is not going to do you one jot of good sitting on your coffee table. It's not going to leap off the coffee table and jump into your heart. It requires of us, and I'm talking us, I include myself, it requires that we make a conscious, decisive determination that we actually want our lives to change, and knowing that this is what's going to change the course of our lives, that we make the decision to actually get into the Word. Amen?
Amen.
So, I'd like you to invite you all to go with me to Mark. We're going to look at chapter 4, and we're going to go from verse 13. To verse 20. Okay, that's brilliant. That's just the door. So, in verse 13, it says here, Jesus speaking, He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Now we can see very clearly here that if we don't understand this parable, this is like the king of all parables. This is the key to how the kingdom of God operates. This is the parable that we need to really get a grip and a grasp of. It's key and it unlocks all the other parables. And it's how we understand and decipher the teachings of Jesus. The last part of verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. Jesus is likening seed to the word. The word of God is what we need to sow into our hearts. The word in itself, always, 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 brings forth the same result. Always. The difference is that people, we, respond differently. Now, let me repeat that. The word in itself contains, it is like a container, it contains inherent power to bring what is sent forth to pass. The word says that very clearly in Isaiah. It talks about the word goes forth and brings to pass what it is sent to do. If we look at Genesis, we haven't got time to go there, but if we did, we could see that God spoke and it happened. It's the spoken word. It's the living word of God. It's the in-breathed word of God. And that word always produces the same result. It is, the difference is how we respond to God's word. That determines the result that will be produced. If I would allow the word of God into my heart, the word of God would do everything it's sent to do. I'm the one that obstructs. I'm the one that puts up the barriers. And so it's not down to me to produce the results, because the word is what produces the results. But it is down to me to look and to see what the ground of my heart is like. Amen? Okay. We all fall into one of four groups. And we're going to look now at verse number 15. The word says, and these are the ones by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, in Matthew 13:19, it says really clearly, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, similar to this verse, and it says, and does not understand, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown into his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Now we know that the word says, God's people perish for lack of
understanding.
Yes, it is the word understanding, actually. And when we don't understand something, it's very difficult for it to go down into our hearts. Because what happens is, when we don't understand something here, we block it. We cause our own blockage. The mind is the gateway to the heart. You've got to understand the word before it can actually go down and take root in your heart. And this type of ground, this first type of ground, is the only type of ground where the enemy has free reign. So we can see it's really key, it's really important that we understand the word of God. Amen? Amen. So why? Why is it sometimes we don't understand? Now, sometimes it can be because in our inner of ourselves, we've maybe not understood that we need to get into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And so we've kind of gone along on a rather superficial level with the Lord. And this within the notion that maybe God's in control, or, you know, it doesn't really require that I do anything more than go to church on a Sunday, listen to one sermon a week, and that's going to be sufficient to keep me going. I'm sorry to disappoint you, chaps, but it's not. And what we need to do is to realise that the word needs to go in on a constant basis. Like I said to you, I don't think Pete would be very happy if I said to him, okay, Pete, well, I reckon, you know, one meal a week is going to be sufficient for you, so, you know, just a breakfast a week, you'd be all right with that, would you?
No.
Exactly. And we tend to forget that the word is spiritual food, and it's exactly the same. And we need to feed ourselves with God's word on a regular basis. So it could be because we've got a rather superficial relationship with the Lord, or that we got distracted, that we just haven't got into the habit of really searching and going after the Lord as we should, or we just haven't got that hunger. We just don't. Our lives are full of other things, and the hunger necessary is not there. It could also be that we've sat under teaching that doesn't unfold the word. You know, I don't know about any of you, but we've been in other churches and we've sat and listened to teaching that doesn't unfold the word. I mean, you know, let's be brutally honest here. That's the reality of the church today and a lot of places. They might be giving you like a Bible story or a little sermon, but they're not unfolding the word. And that's what it requires. If I expect my students to pass the Cambridge exams in May, I'm going to have to unfold a whole lot of things, because I cannot expect them to go from October to May, then get to May and sit an exam if I haven't done my job. Amen? And that's really what it's all about. In the body of Christ, there are different gifts and different people responsible for helping us as the body of Christ to understand the word. And that is part of the focus. Now, if we look at verse 16 and verse 7, we've got the second kind of person. And the word says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And verse 17 as well. Thank you. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for only a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. These were excited. These were people who were excited when they heard the word, but they didn't commit and they didn't stick with it. You see, often it's stickability that counts. We can get all excited, we can hear a good message, we can go, wow, brilliant, you know, great. Oh, wow, did you get that? Did you receive that? Yes, I did. And then we can go home and we can just let the things of life start to penetrate, start to come in, start to distract, start to get a focus off what we've received. And before you know it, you can't even really remember what the message was about. Amen? Can everyone witness? Exactly. I mean, there are statistics that say in order to be able to retain a certain amount of information, you've got to hear it a certain amount of times. And so we need to be aware of the fact that this can often be the case with all of us. We can get excited, but then we find ourselves getting distracted. And it also says here that tribulation and persecution doesn't say if. If you notice that word here, it says when. In other words, it will come. We are going to be tested. The enemy is going to come and try and steal the word. I can guarantee you, he always will try. It's what we do with what we've received. That's what makes the difference, and that's what counts. It talks about root. It says here, they have no root in themselves. Now, roots go down a long, long way. I remember in my dad's garden, they had this huge tree, and the tree got some kind of a disease, and in the end it was decided that the tree got to be felled. And the council came in with all sorts of machinery and things, and they started chopping down the tree, and they chopped it down and left just like the stump was in the middle of the garden. So my dad he's like a bulldog, once he gets going with something, he's got to get it finished. And they started, my dad, my brother, somebody else helping him, digging around this tree, and they found that the roots were just like, they just went, I don't know how far they went, but a tremendous distance. The garden's huge, but went right out through his garden, right out to the garden next door. And so it took absolutely ages, and in the end, the council said, chop down, dug down, cut down roots, cut through the roots. Then they had to put like a chain around it and then get a tractor and literally heave this thing and finally got it out. It took a tremendous amount of effort. You see, what happens is the roots, what we don't see, is what goes right down, deep down. Root produces fruit. Root causes growth. But what we often aren't seeing is the upward growth. What's happening first is the roots are going down. Amen? Now in this verse it's talking about these people don't have any root in themselves. What do I mean by that? Well, often we want, or we'd like to, piggyback on somebody else's root. In other words, what I mean by that is, somebody gets a revelation on something, and we just want the quick fix. I do this with my kids. I mean, they always want it. I don't even have a student at work. They want the spoon. They want the, open your mouth, I'll give it all to you, like, liquidized, on the spoon, open your mouth, in it goes, Allah, all done, say in Spanish. And this is often what we want. We want somebody else's revelation, but we want to piggyback on that revelation. We don't want to actually have to do what's required for that revelation to become ours. But that's really what we need to do. We need to make that root has got to be in me and in all of you. It is. It often comes through somebody else's revelation initially. I'm not knocking other people's revelations. That's how I've received tremendous amount of stuff. But it's what you do with that other person's revelation. You can't just stop there. You have to make that decision that I'm going to take advantage of what the Lord has shown this person, that this has got to become mine. And the only way that this can become mine is if I make the effort to put it in. If I spend the time doing what's required for it to go into my heart and for it to become a reality in my life. Amen? So it needs to be, the root needs to be on the inside of me. I remember when we first, I'd been saved for about 6 years, but like I said before, I really hadn't moved on. And then Matteo came to know the Lord, and he was just like, wham, as in, wow. He got saved, and literally about a month later, we heard Colin Urquhart from King of Faith is coming out to Lehas. Well, we, as you probably know, we live just at the side of Almeria. And we were going to a church just inside. The whole church decided, we're all going to this. So off we trotted. And it was just amazing. It was the most, for me, it was just like, it really was. As they say in Spanish, they say, like a small child with new shoes. But what they mean is, you know when kids get all excited about something? That's exactly how we were. We'd read this book by Benny Hinn. We'd read about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We wanted it. We were hungry. We wanted more of God. We were on fire for God. And we were going and we were getting every single bit we could get. We were going for a whole weekend and we were having it all. Thank you very much. And that's really how we went. That was what we were like. We were like this. It was eager anticipation of what God was going to do. And you know, he came up trumps. It really was. It was the most amazing weekend. I'm not going to focus on a lot of what happened, but I'm going to take one thing. And that one thing was, Colin Urquhart is a very gifted teacher of the Word of God. And I remember that he taught on seed faith. And I took notes. I literally sat there and my pen could not go quick enough. It was just like, blip, 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 all the way through my notebook. I took notes and the Word started to go in. And I knew that what he was saying was reality. And I knew that if I could get what this guy was teaching that weekend, it was going to change my life. And I took it, and I decided when I got home that was it. I was going to be in the Word, and I was going to put that Word to work in my life. And I did, and I remember that we were wanting to move. We were living in this perky little flat, and it was really high. It was like 11th floor, and I really did not like looking over the balcony and seeing all this distance between me and the floor. And I really wanted to move, but I'd learned that God promises lots of things in His Word, and so I took the Scripture. And I wrote Scripture out, and I started getting to the Word, and I saw that God could provide me with a better place to live. And so I started to get specific, and I said, Lord, I want somewhere with And I sort of told him, I wanted like a list of things. I want somewhere with lots of natural light. I want somewhere with a garden. I want somewhere with an open fireplace and three bedrooms. And I think I said a garage as well. You know what? Okay, it wasn't a bought property, but within literally weeks, we had moved from where we'd been living to this house, which was exactly what I asked for. Do you know what? My faith went through the roof. I was like, wow, this is what God can do. The word works. It was like, this is amazing. And suddenly, everything started changing for me because I started to be able to see that God's word brings change. That God's really interested in whether I'm living in a pokey little flat or whether I've got a house, which was back then the house of my desire. He is interested in the little things, in the seemingly little things that concern me. Amen. And it completely changed and revolutionized my life. You see, the Christian life is not a picnic. If anybody tells you it is, no, it ain't. It most definitely ain't. But what happens is, what we can tend to do is we can look at somebody else's life and we can think that we can see the weather at now. And what we think is, then, wow, they've had this most amazing growth spurt. And my life, my walk with God seems to go like really slow. It seems to be really laborious. It seems as though I'm not seeing the results that this person's seeing in their life. You see, what we're not seeing is all of that root growth underneath the ground. The years that they have spent seeking the Lord, spending time in the Word, allowing the Word to take hold in their hearts, and allowing God to bring any changes or adjustments necessary for that Word to work. What we're seeing is the here and the now. Amen. We're not seeing all of that stuff underneath, and we need to be aware that every single one of us, we all go through the process. We're all a work in process, we're just at different stages. There's a kind of bamboo, I don't know what it's called, but it does take 4 years for this bamboo to even show anything above ground. It spends 4 years putting down roots. But when it does start showing, it grows something, I don't know, don't quote me on this because I've probably got it wrong, but I know it's a huge amount of growth. Per day it's about 2 feet a day or something. It's just something absolutely amazing. And it's the same with us really. That once we've put down the roots, the growth will come. But we just need to be diligent. And what Satan is going to try and do, he is going to try and steal the word. We have to learn to fight back. We have to learn to stand our ground. You see, God has given it all to us, but we need to learn to stand the ground.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example. When we were in the UK, when we were students the first year, both of us worked in Morrison's, which I have to admit to you was not the most exciting of jobs. It was okay at the time and it suited at the time. But there came a point where I was really, really keen to get out of there. And I remember I was on the till, and I remember a guy came through, a Polish guy, and he talked about a college, which I knew was in the town, and he said something about being an English student in the college. And you know, God spoke to me there and then, and he said, you are going to teach in that college. This was probably... It would be probably in the January. We hadn't finished Bible school, so I knew it wasn't going to be straight away. But we finished then in the June. Finished in the June, and I did get a job, but a different teaching job in a school for a time. I knew God had spoken to me. I didn't know how he was going to do it, but I just knew he was going to do it. And I made a connection with a girl who was also a student, an English student at this college. And she came up to me one day, she said, oh, did you know that so-and-so, one of the two lecturers for the ESOL department, was leaving? So I thought, whoa. So I kept my eyes peeled. And no, first of all, I sent a CV, nothing came of it. So I thought, I began to think, yeah, really? Now you see, look at me, watch this. I began to think, did I really hear God? Now whose voice is that? That can be my flesh, but it's also often the enemy sitting on your shoulder saying, did God really say? I knew I had. I stood on the word. I chose to reject that thought. I chucked it away and I said, no. God has said that he's going to give me this job. I know he's going to give it to me. A few months went on. Looking through the newspaper one day, I saw an advert, they're looking for somebody for this college. I just went, wow. Got the form off, got a phone call for an interview. I went to the interview, and I'm not joking you, I kid you not, it's the worst interview I've ever done in the whole of my life. I mean, I'm not brilliant at interviews, but this one was just like desperately bad. And I remember coming out thinking, in the natural, there's just no way, I'm just absolutely no way they're going to give me this job. But I knew God had spoken, I knew that it didn't depend on me, I knew that it was His word and it was His power working on my behalf, and I came home convinced that job was mine, despite the rotten interview. A few days went by, I stood on the word, I quoted the word, I prayed the word, I spoke the word. Every time Matteo said to me, have you heard anything? Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet, but I will. I stood on the word. I remember one morning in particular, and this is what I mean by, you've got to stand your ground. One morning in particular, like about 8 days had gone by, and I knew I should have heard by that point, because they said to me, you're here within about 4 days. Hadn't heard anything. And I was in prayer, and this really was the enemy. And he was just like taunting me and saying, nah, 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 you know, the job's not yours. And on the inside of me, in my spirit man, I just suddenly thought, enough. Enough, Satan. I'm taking it. I'm standing my ground. And I remember that it was just like, came up from out of me, and I just said, no. This is my job. It belongs to me. You are not having it. You're not stealing it from me. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I take what is mine, and I believe that I've received it in Jesus' mighty name. It's a done deal. Do you know what? I went to work that day. That was probably about 8 o'clock in the morning. It took me an hour to get to work. Got to work within about half an hour of being there. Phone call. Sharon, they wanted a telephone. It was the college. Can you come? We want you to start work within the next week. That job was mine. But you see, if I had allowed the enemy to talk me out of it, at that point I would possibly have come out with something negative, something that goes against, and quite probably they would not have offered me the job. So we need to be diligent, we need to stand on the word. Amen? Okay, let's move on quickly. The third type of ground is verse 18 and verse 19.
Go back to 18. There you go.
It's okay, it will be out. Okay, it says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I want you to look at three words here: cares, deceitfulness, desires. These are the things that can choke the word. We can become really occupied with other things. We choose to enter in and to continue entering into the word, which is light, or we allow all the other stuff around us to get in there, which causes darkness. I mentioned my students, and I'm going to mention them again, because this is a good example. These exams they have to do is part of it spoken, part of it is reading comprehension, but probably the hardest part for them is the listening comprehension. And it's really difficult because they're dealing with different accents, they're dealing with people speaking at normal speed, and if it's people like me, they go very quickly, and also they're dealing with innuation, which is probably the hardest thing. What they have to do is to be able to understand what's being said at full belt and be able to answer a question. And what happens is what they deliberately do in these exams to absolutely put them to the test is to give them what they call distractors. And these are things that, you know, you might have like five people speaking and there's a question about something specific and three of these people are going to mention this particular thing. But only one of these people is answering the question they've been asked. And that's the one they've got to find. So what they have to try to do is to eliminate the distractors and get what is the answer to the question. And we live in a world that constantly bombards us with distractors. We have to make the effort and make the decision that we are not going to be governed by our flesh, by what our flesh craves, by our own pleasures, what we want to do. And we have to make the decision to not allow ourselves to be distracted. And also demands, and I'm just talking about our daily lives, there are demands put upon us. There are people who constantly want to take from us. And I'm not saying that in the sense that they're bad people. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they require certain. How many of you have felt this sometimes that you kind of like, everybody wants something from you? And you get to the point where you almost become like you can't function anymore. It's like, whoa, stop, enough. Can't manage this anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, we have to guard ourselves. We have to guard ourselves, because when we get to that point, it's really difficult to hear anything from the Lord. It's really difficult to receive from Him because we're so exhausted emotionally, physically. And you know, we don't function well in the spirit when our body is tired and when our mind is tired. And so we have to guard ourselves from these distractors and from these people that are trying to pull from us. And it's almost like if you picture yourselves as a garden, we're allowing things to creep in. We're allowing things to creep in and to choke the word. Now we choose to either nip it in the bud, or we allow it to continue. And I would be honest with you, and I would say many times, I've allowed things to continue and to get to the overgrown point where it takes a lot more hard work to pull all the weeds out and to weed the garden than it would do if I just said, here and now, stop, pull it out, be done with it. So we need to be aware that there are things that will try and choke and steal. Many Christians get so busy, busy, busy with life that, you know, we're not focused. And if we look at the example of Mary and Martha, it's a really good example. Mary set aside everything so she could focus upon the word. But Martha let the seemingly important business of life take priority over the word. Am I saying we should just drop absolutely everything? No, I'm not. But we need to be aware and we need to be wise in how we manage our time. We can't afford to get so entangled in the business of life that we choose death by default. Because that's what happens. That's what happens. I know that at times at the end of the course, I've become so mentally fatigued that it's like, I just can't, I'm just not functioning properly. And yet I also know, and I know better, because I know that it's the Lord. He is my strength. He is the one who provides me with His grace. But sometimes we can get so into the automatic pilot mode, overload, that we just keep going, keep going, keep going. And we can't even see that far ahead. Because we've got our heads down and it's almost like survival mode. Just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. But we're not seeing that actually there's provision on every level. God makes provision on every single level if we just turn to Him, if we just turn to His word. And then the fourth kind of ground, which is verse 20, it says, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This soil had less, not more. This soil had less stones, less weeds, less anything that would get in the way. This soil bore fruit. And when I say bore fruit, I'm not talking about when we bear fruit for the Lord, it's not our fruit. We are just the branches. He is the vine. All we do is allow Him to produce through us. Amen? So there's no struggling, there's no real grit your teeth, make a huge effort. That's not what He's talking about here. When we remove from our lives those things that have been getting in the way, we will become fruitful and we will become productive for the kingdom of God. And we will bear fruit. And it will go in stages. It won't be the 100-fold straight away necessarily. But we will begin to see a difference. Remember the example I gave you of when I put the word to work in my life, I saw a result. That's fruit. Mm. And God wants fruit in every single one of our lives. Yeah. So, we need to meditate and see ourselves in the Word. I've got a question. I'm going to finish with this question. And it's a question beginning with me. It's a question for me, but it's a question for every single one of us. And the question is, what does your garden look like? If we want to change, we've got to make a change. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is living and powerful and sharp and ready to reach soul.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you, Father, that you are in the business of bringing change. You are in the business of bringing transformation into our lives. And Father, we just choose to turn to you today wholeheartedly.
Yes.
Wholeheartedly and honestly, Lord. Because it's about being transparent and it's about being honest. Mm. It's about saying, Lord, we haven't made it yet. But we want to move forwards with you. We don't want to stick and stay in the same old stable. We don't want to be hard ground or stony ground or ground that's choked with weeds. Mm. Father, we want to be that productive,
yes,
fruitful ground that bears fruit for your kingdom.
You,
and Father, in the name of Jesus, we would ask you to really show us any adjustments that we need to make in our lives in order to see fruitfulness and more fruitfulness. And we believe that we receive everything that we need in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.